Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year C, Ordinary 9, also known as Proper 4 and Pentecost 2. Today's passages are all amazing. Elijah astounds the priests of Baal, Paul is surprised that the Galatians are so quick to throw off his instructions, and Jesus is stunned by the utter faith of a Roman centurion. Let's go find out what other surprises await us.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. This week marks the beginning of the very long slog of ordinary time, when there are no fasts, no feasts, just normal day-to-day living with Jesus. But we don't want our preaching to be ordinary or stale. Anytime and in any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so that they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's go get started. The Old Testament reading for Year C, Ordinary 9, or Proper 4, Pentecost 2, comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. The lectionary selection is the first 20 and 21, hopping over 22 to 29, and then jumping back in again from 30 to 39. We're doing the whole darn thing, which is essentially the story of Elijah and the contest between the priests of Baal. It's a very familiar story. If you want to go ahead and just look it up so you can get the details down as we go through the podcast, that would be great, because it's kind of a long story and we have a lot we want to present, so we want to just get right on to that. An interesting note is that Elijah himself uses all but music intelligence in this contest between the priests of Baal. He employs word, eye, math, body, nature, people, and self to make his point. We added music in our worksheet, so you can see that if you go look. But what we're going to concentrate on is word, an illustration in word, an illustration in math, an illustration and a special effect in nature, and an illustration and special effect in self. David, get us started.
Okay, so we're going to start with word smart and looking at verse 27. Now, this is in that middle section that the lectionary glosses or gives you the option to gloss. But we felt that it was fairly important. And this is while the priests of Baal, or Baal, are going through their rituals, and Elijah taunts them.
Neener, neener, neener.
and jeers at them. We don't usually think of the prophets as trash talking, but that's basically what he's doing here. He's just really trash talking.
Totally.
So modern equivalents, in particular, boxers in their pre-fight interviews tend to trash talk.
Politicians anymore?
Politicians, certainly. Yeah, sadly. And of course, most professional athletes on the field seem to do this anymore, or so we're told. If you know the movie Sandlot, there's a lot of trash talking in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a link for you from some of the highlights of Muhammad Ali's greatest trash talking. And then another would be another of our favorites. It comes from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where Arthur and his company come up to the French castle and are taunted in French or with an outrageous French accent.
Yes.
So we have a link for that clip if you if you're not familiar with it, you ought to be. So anyway, that's Elijah's use of words and some other examples to go along with.
All right, we're heading on then to math smarts, and we're looking at the number that Elijah himself provides. I am only one prophet, therefore 450. Now, we know just instinctively that that's a huge gap. I mean, one guy up against 450, but a way to it's good to illustrate that from time to time. Give your congregation a sense of how off those numbers are. So we have some illustrations. The Louisiana State Capitol is 450 feet tall. A ruler is 1 foot tall. The melting point of tellurium is 450 degrees centigrade, while 1 centigrade is the almost freezing point for water. So there's some temperature differences. Washington, D.C. to Charleston, South Carolina, as the crow flies, is approximately 450 miles. And Hollywood, California to Tucson, Arizona is approximately 450 miles, which at a constant 60-mile-an-hour speed would take 7.5 hours to drive, while 1 mile at 60 miles an hour would take a minute. So there you go. There are just some comparisons between 1 and 450. Yeah, if you come up with some others, that would
right,
be cool.
Feel
too.
Free to come up with your own 450s. For Nature Smart, I got to thinking about the altar here. Elijah is said to have rebuilt the altar of the Lord.
All by himself, that one guy.
Yeah. And using 12 stones for the 12 tribes. And that was pretty common, I guess, to make use of 12 stones. So I got to thinking about it and what those altars might look like and how might you actually build such a thing and what would that be like. It has to be big enough to hold a cut-up bowl. Bull.
Not bowl.
Not bowl, bull. But bull.
Yeah, we had some issues with that earlier.
And
how big a bowl do you need? Well, I don't know. It depends on your ingredients.
Okay, sorry. anyway.
Sorry.
Big enough to hold a bowl. Bull. What's the difference?
I don't know. You guys all comment and tell us if you can hear a difference between bowl and bull.
All right. it has to be big enough to hold a male cow. And so it's got to be pretty big. Probably more than just the 12 stones. And so we have a few pictures that we looked up on the internet, and there are a few of what such an altar might look like. By way of special effect, you might think about actually building such a thing, maybe in scale, you know, just tabletop size or something.
Yeah, but, get some stones,
but,
some rocks.
Because it's going to take a lot of stones and rocks, but just to give a sense of the size and space, it would carry over into some eye smart there probably as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And probably some body too, depending on how big your rocks are.
Well, that's true.
Might want to practice and work out a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to self-smart. We're looking at a couple of different places in this reading where Elijah challenges the people to declare which God they're going to follow, and the people give him no answer. And then later on, the priests of Baal are doing their best to get their god Baal to answer, and there's no answer. So we're looking at the idea of there just not being any voice and no answers. As a way of illustrating this, we have a quote from Michael Chan from workingpreacher.org, where he says, "In fact, this narrative isn't fundamentally a power contest at all. At stake is which God answers prayer. Which one's going to answer? And what will the people answer in response to which God answers?" So talk about that. Talk about how what is the response of the people? What is your response when there is no answer, no voice? Does that lead you to go limping about after other possibilities, other gods? Or is it a time then to just wait and to exercise patience and to really answer the question for yourself, who do you trust? And who do you trust to respond?
The New Testament lesson for Ordinary 9-Year C is Galatians 1:1-12. It's the opening of the letter, obviously, and so it starts off with Paul introducing himself and addressing the churches of Galatia, and then the standard grace to you and peace statement. And then instead of the ordinary thanksgiving, I give thanks to God for you, he just skips that part and goes right into, I'm astonished that you are deserting everything that I told you. So busted. So this is a pretty strongly worded passage once he gets going, and it doesn't take him long to get going. So accusing them of turning back from the gospel that he proclaimed to them, and that if, not that there is another gospel, he says, but if anyone declares another gospel, let that one be accursed. Even if it's me, let them be accursed, he says. And then just reiterating again that it's the gospel that was proclaimed that comes not from human origin, but from the revelation of Jesus Christ. So lots of stuff you can do with this. We are going to focus on iSmart with an illustration and special effect, BodySmart with an illustration, NatureSmart, we've got a couple things, a couple of each, and PeopleSmart illustration and special effect. So Molly's going to start us off with the eye.
Well, it got me to thinking about using this as an eye illustration or an eye special effect was the phrase, so quickly deserting. And it's based a great deal on an essay written by Mary Hinkle Shore at workingpreacher.org, which incidentally is one of our go-to places, by the way.
When if you haven't picked that up.
Yeah. For her, hearing Paul being astonished at how quickly the Galatians are backing up got her to thinking about when you return your car to a car rental place, or if you're in a toll lane on a toll highway, and you get to a certain point and there's those, what do they call them?
The spike
strips. Yeah. So you cross over those, and if you try to back up, you will do severe damage to your tires. So she was thinking of using that as kind of an illustration of you know, Paul standing back behind the car going, no, stop, don't do it, waving his arms. So you could use that as a special effect, a visual special effect of what Paul is attempting to prevent happening. We also have a clip of a woman named Meryl Marco who said, would you really get severe tire damage? And so they got a car and would.
They had a tire guy there and he said, what kind of damage do you see? Severe tire damage.
Indeed.
Okay, for Body Smart, we're looking at Paul being astonished, and another way of putting that is gobsmacked. And
in our vernacular.
Yes, and particularly British slang, that is, although it's making its way more into American slang, I guess. Kind of face-palming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Paul's response to what he's heard from the Galatians elicits a very strong response, which may express itself through the body, either face palm or hand to mouth or something even more visceral, something running all through his body. So you might think about or encourage your folks to think about a time when you heard news that your entire body reacted to, that adrenaline rush kicked in, maybe you start sweating a little bit, breathing deeply, your muscles tighten up, your heart rate goes up. Whether it's good news or bad news, it can happen that way. So get folks identifying with that and then think, wow, Paul's feeling that way about the
what
people in the church
heard.
And about what they believe. And wow, do I? Are we worried about our theology that much that that our whole bodies get involved? Maybe we should.
Yeah. In NatureSmart, we're just kind of continuing on with what Paul is so apoplectic about here. And what it is that the Galatians are listening to a different word, a different gospel. And for him, the resurrection of Jesus has obliterated the old created order, and it's ushered in an entirely new world, a new creation. So for Paul to see that the Galatians are trying to continue in the practices of the old world order is astounding, astonishing, anger-producing, because to continue in those practices is to truncate or even reject the newness that Jesus has brought about in the resurrection. So an illustration, you could use that as an illustration, or an illustration that we found from an article written by Beverly Gaventa back in July 2000 in Interpretation. She says, a fundamental law of physics that no object can occupy more than one space at the same time may provide a helpful analogy. Put directly, the gospel leaves those grasped by it with no other place to be. It moves people from one place to another. So there's some physics that are involved in understanding Paul's anger and his deep desire to correct the Galatians. We have this new thing in Jesus. How can you possibly try to put the old thing back into it? It's just not possible. And so for a special effect that you can do for this, to illustrate this, is have a couple volunteers come forward and tell them you're going to play a game and have a circle up on the floor that you've either put down in chalk or tape or something. And you say, we're going to see how well the three of us fit in this space. Ready, go. And you all fit in the space. And then you talk about how easy that was and say, well, let's make this bit more of a challenge. And so you redraw the circle smaller and smaller and smaller until you get to the point where none of you can fit in that circle. And so you say, as this gets smaller and smaller, gee, why is this so hard? You know, and be creative. You might have pick somebody up if it's a kid, you know, have somebody sit on your shoulders, whatever, stand on one foot, could be fun. And then, you know, when you get so
small. I think
that's
an old junior high game, actually.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. Yeah. Maybe that's why it came to me.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah. but anyway, ask, why is this so hard? And then tell them about the physical law regarding occupying space. And then say, when Jesus' gospel is part of your life, your old way of living can't fit into it anymore. No words to that effect.
Another way of thinking about this is from thermodynamics, and there are that's the science that tells us about processes and has a lot to do with heat and heat transfer in particular, but it describes processes as being either reversible or irreversible. A reversible process is one where without adding any energy to the system or without rearranging it at all, you can get the process to run backwards. And there aren't very many where that actually takes place, where that actually happens. And so most thermodynamic processes are irreversible. That is that they go from the original state to the next state, mm-hmm. and you can't get back without rearranging things and adding a lot of energy to the system because the entropy has increased.
Ooh.
Yeah. Look it up. And just trust me.
We have a link.
Yeah. And so one way of thinking about that would be if you have a bucket and you put that on the floor and you have a pitcher of water and you pour the water from the pitcher into the bucket. And by the way, this is both your illustration and special effect here. You pour the water into the bucket. The water is not going to unpour from the bucket into the pitcher. And there's no way to get it to do that without a great deal of effort on your part. You have to
put down the pitcher, pick up the bucket.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you need to make it happen.
Right.
The water doesn't do it itself.
Exactly. So it's an irreversible process. And that's what Paul is saying the gospel is. It's an irreversible process. Once you're in Jesus, there's no going back. You can't do it unless you put a lot of effort into doing that. And that's stupid. Says Paul. He says so right here. So
for People Smart, we're looking at the these teachers who have come in behind Paul who are trying to get the Galatians to go with this alternate or other gospel, which Paul just totally rejects out of hand because it's trying to pour water from a bucket back into the pitcher without picking up the bucket and pouring water back into the pitcher. So he's to illustrate that, you might think about the TV show Let's Make a Deal, where either the old one with Monty Hall or the new one with Wayne Brady, they try to make deals with their contestants. And sometimes the contestants make a really bad deal and they get a zonk.
Wah, 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 wah.
We have some clips of that that you can take a look at and see what a zonk is. And if you want to illustrate or if you want to really have fun with that, play a little Let's Make a Deal with someone in your congregation or do it as the skit that we'll have ready for you. All right, okay, we're going on.
Let's go.
The gospel lesson for Year C, Ordinary 9, is from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. This is the story of the healing of the centurion's servant. Jesus is heading into Capernaum, and there is a centurion there who has a dearly loved slave who is ill and close to death, and he has heard about Jesus, and so he sends word to Jesus by way of some of the Jewish elders, asking Jesus to come and heal his slave. And when the elders get to Jesus, they advocate on his behalf, saying, he's a good guy. Do what he asks. And so Jesus goes with them and heading to the house. But when they're not too far from the house, the centurion sends more of his people and says to Jesus the message, don't trouble yourself. I'm not worthy to have you in my house. I'm not going to presume to come to you. Just speak the word, and I know that my servant will be healed because I understand what authority means. I have people serving under me. I say, do it, and they do it. And so I trust, this is an implicit thing, I trust that when you speak the word, what you speak will happen. And Jesus is astonished, kind of like Paul, at this, and says he's not seen in Israel this kind of faith. And so when the people from the centurion go home, they find the slave healed. It's an awesome story, and there's an awful lot in it, but we are going to concentrate on only four of the intelligences. We're going to look at word smart. We're going to look at an illustration and a special effect. Eye smart, illustration and special effect. People smart, illustration and special effect. And self smart, a special effect. So we're going to start at the top with word. Take it away, honey.
Okay. So we have this idea of speaking the word with authority that runs through the text. And a quote from Mark Davis, D. Mark Davis, on his blog.
Left Behind and Loving It.
That's the one. Where he says, the centurion's reference to Jesus saying a word and having the result might be an echo of the creation story in Genesis 1, where God says, and it happens. If that is an intentional echo on the centurion's part, it would be quite a statement of faith. So that's a pretty cool thing to think about there. And as far as that word of command, a couple things that you can do for a special effect. If you know of a dog trainer, somebody who works with the canines, either in your congregation or around about town, you might invite them to come and talk with your folks and as part of the sermon about what it's like to train a police dog or just a regular dog or a sheepdog or a service dog.
Yeah.
And what does it take to build the relationship to the point that you have that obedience where you say the thing and the dog does the thing? I don't know. I don't know how that works. Our dog never did that.
You're talking to me?
Hey, what? Oh, hey.
What? He understood walk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't have access to a dog trainer, then perhaps you have access to a smartphone. And if you have an Apple product, you would be thinking about Siri, perhaps. You can ask Siri, find me a restaurant, and it will do it. And the same thing with, what's the other thing? Alexa from Amazon will do the same sort of thing, where you can give a command, and it theoretically will...
Does what you've asked.
Will do
yes.
what you have asked.
So, that could be fun.
Yeah, it could be. So you might practice something with your phone or other tech that responds to verbal commands. One other thought here is on the word... Diasozo, and that's the Greek at the beginning of the passage where the centurion is asking for Jesus to come to heal his slave. And so diasozo is to heal deeply or to heal all the way through. Dia, all the way through. Sozo, to save or heal. So the centurion is making a 911 call to Jesus, basically. And so that there's an illustration for you. The idea of get me some help, right now,
please.
And we have a link to Homer Simpson doing that, which is kind of fun. But anyway, so that urgent call, looking for help.
In iSmart, we have an illustration. There's an awful lot of movement coming and going in this passage, and there are two different groups that are moving about. One is a group of Jewish elders that are the mediator between the centurion and Jesus, and then there is another group of people from the centurion who are also an intermediary between Jesus and the centurion. Jesus and the centurion never actually lay eyes on each other in this story, which is fascinating. So what you could do as a special effect to illustrate this idea is to use some game pieces on a board and move them around. Or if you want to have a lot of fun with this, use people. Make it like wizard's chess from Harry Potter. Be certain to include the finding that Jesus and the centurion's people experienced. Jesus, wow, I'm just amazed, gobsmacked, that this guy has this amount of faith, and the people coming home to be amazed to find the servant healed.
For people smart, there is a lot of interpersonal relationship stuff happening in this passage. We have the centurion who trusted that he would be heard by Jesus and that Jesus would do what he asked and that what Jesus asked would be done. Mm-hmm. What Jesus spoke would be done. So there are a lot of trust in there. Trust between the centurion and the Jewish elders. Trust between Jesus and apparently the elders. And so a lot of vouching and a lot of advocating and a lot of connection going on through here. So for a way to get people smarts engaged in all of this, invite them to pray with the confidence of the centurion. So what you might do is either within the context of the sermon or separately when you get to the prayers of the people for the day, if that's later, divide the congregation up into smaller groups. Threes would be ideal, as we learned last week on Trinity Sunday. but the smaller groups, and invite them to pray for people that they know are in need. If you have a printed prayer list, then they can make use of that. And if you don't, or even if you do, they can bring their own
spontaneous
requests. The folks that they know in their hearts and minds who are in need of that prayer, and go to Jesus together, like those Jewish elders did and like the servants did, and ask Jesus to diosozo, to heal that person through and through, and do it with that same confidence that we know the authority that you've got. So really let them dig into that and be conscious and believe that that's going to happen.
For CellSmart, we have a special effect that continues kind of on that idea of authority. We have a graphic that we'll have on the in the show notes and is also on the worksheet, which kind of gives you an idea to consider the question, under whose authority do we stand? What's the chain of command? Where is Jesus in the line of that chain of command? So for a special effect for CellSmart, you can invite people to draw that chain of command. Showing who has authority over them and over whom they have authority, and where does Jesus fit in that chart, in that picture. That could be something they can do either silently during the worship service or give them that as a homework assignment.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at facebook.com/morethanhearing. Or send us a tweet at morethanhearing. Or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you try any of these suggestions, or maybe get an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We'd love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for our show notes, our links, and our resources on the website. We also publish our worksheets on each text, so you can see some of the ideas that don't make it into the podcast. They might be helpful or give you a creative spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or just point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes Store, too. You can subscribe there directly, and while you're there, you can write us a review and share the show with your friends and colleagues, which makes it easier for them to find us. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whip It Good production. Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
And I just hit my mic.